start and say it's the 12th of November, 1974, Fleming's talking to Paul McGreal in his apartment, right?
Yeah, it's in my apartment, yes.
Why don't we, you were born 1906?
Six, yes.
March 12th, whereabouts?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts?
Yes.
Oh.
I went to school at a place called Willison Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And had, you know, the traditional very good education.
Right.
I mean, which meant that in all the New England schools then, as today, are still the best, you know.
Tough schools.
Not tough, but good, solid educations. And I just couldn't approve of them more. I sent my children to both. So one of my children went to Exeter, and the other went to some type of school in New Hampshire, the same type of school. But I approved of those. I had an education in the general things, and I went to...
How were you sent to those schools? Was your family always...
Well, there. I was there in East Hampton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
And that's where the academy was.
Right.
I went to school there. And I don't remember getting interested in art. I was interested in playing a musical instrument. I played violin.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing violin at the age of five. This was in grade school, before I went to prep school. I played it for 8 years. At the end of that time, at 13, I was a concert master of the grade school orchestra, which is a phenomenon which probably does not exist today. I don't think that people can afford violins for public schools.
Right.
But don't forget this was 1912, 13, 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great fun. I gave up the violin because I was very sensitive to music, and I've been interested in music all my life, but I had a very good musical ear, and if you know, the violin is an instrument, is very, very difficult.
Right.
Now, if I'd taken the piano, I'd probably be a pianist today, but the violin, it just scratched too much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just have to be a damn good artist to be satisfied, and either one of two things could have happened. I could have had a less sensitive ear and gone on and played the violin, you know, or else I... could hear it the way it sounded, and I knew it was just not good enough, and
right.
I just gave it up, you know.
Right.
So in prep school and stuff like that. Let me see. I got interested in dancing at a very, very early stage in my life. When I was at Willison Academy, there's Rudolph Valentino, the film person, was taking a year off. He was married then to a woman called, I think, Virginia Hudnut, who was an heiress to a
cosmetics,
you know, something like that. And she and he were doing a series of tango dances at Smith College.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going over in a streetcar, and I think I was the only boy there, 2,000 girls with this dance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got in very interested in dancing, and I was always interested in pursuing it as a career. And
but do you come from a cultural background?
Not especially. Just my father was just a businessman, my mother was just a person, you know, no special thing, but you think that works that way? I know masses of people whose mothers and fathers are just happy and devoted to music, and my children are absolutely, one of my sons is stone deaf.
Mm.
I mean, he can't hear, he wouldn't know the difference between Mozart, you know, Mozart and Boogie today, you know.
So
and I'm very musical, I've never stopped, you know,
yeah.
He just doesn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that prodigy means, actually, in terms of what you call. I went to the school. The most important thing, I think, one of my life was, I think, in the 1933s, I met Lincoln Kirstein in New York. He was an editor and publisher of a magazine called Hound and Horn.
Right.
He's very much interested in the ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I had been taking lessons in ballet dancing from a man in Springfield, Massachusetts called Anatole Bourman. And his name is spelled B-O-U-R-M-A-N. And he was an interesting man because he was Nijinsky's classmate at the great Imperial School of Ballet in St. Petersburg. And the reason that he happened to be a friend of Nijinsky, a very close personal friend of Nijinsky, because Bourman was Polish and Nijinsky was a Pole. And in St. Petersburg in those days, there's almost a categorical rejection of Poles. I mean, that the Russians just felt that the Poles were sort of a second culture and not a distinguished people at all. Anyhow, Bourman became very attached to Nijinsky and vice versa. They became very, very fast friends, which is incidentally led to a book that he had written. And about that time, just before his book came out, Rommel and Nijinsky had walked into Lincoln Kirstein's office, and she was, of course, the widow of Nijinsky. I think Lincoln helped her very much with her book, which became a very, very popular book. You know it, don't you?
Right,
I think it's called, Life of Nijinsky or something like that.